All right, welcome to the Sunday evening service. Did everybody get a nap in? Yes, all right, perfect. That's, I think, one of the best times to nap is Sunday afternoons for some reason. I don't sleep deeper. Of course, I don't know. I wake up sometimes a little bit out of disoriented, not knowing what day it is. But anyways, go ahead and stand up, and we're going to sing 183, Come and Dine, Come and Dine. Here we go, ready? Jesus has the table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people, come and dine. With his manna he doth feed and supplies our every need. Oh, 'tis sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. Come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine. Second verse. The disciples came to land, thus obeying Christ's command. For the Master called to them, oh, come and dine. There they found their heart's desire, bread and fish upon the farm. Thus he satisfies the hungry every time. Come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine. Verse 3. Soon the Lamb will take his bride to the everlasting time. All the hosts of heaven will assemble be. Oh, 'twill be a glorious sight, all the saints in spotless white, and with Jesus they will feast eternally. Come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine.
Good to see you back this evening. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Lord, we ask as we do every service to meet with us. We ask you, Lord, that you'd help anyone that's still on the way to get here safely. We ask you, Lord, that you'd speak through the singing, Lord, the specialist, and Lord, fill me with your power tonight, that, Lord, I might say the things that you need to be, had to be said, and I pray, Lord, that you get glory from it. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, stay standing. We'll sing page 91, What a Day That Will Be, amen. Sing it out together. Here we go. There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. Think about the words. Here we go. Second verse. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness nor pain, no more parting over there, and forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be.
Thank you. You may be seated. If you want to wind up the microphone, sir, we will use that in a moment. Don't forget the normal stuff going on this week. We will have Wednesday evening service at 7:30. Back in our place for church next Sunday morning at 10:50, and then church in the evening at 6 o'clock. I mentioned Brother Lowry this morning. He has an appointment again Tuesday to the doctor, so pray for him for his eye issues. He's been having a lot of issues with his eye. It was one, then the other, and he's still having problems back with the first one as well. They've been doing shots and talk surgery. I'm not sure. I talked to his answer machine. He just texted me back, so I didn't get to talk to him this week, but I did. He sent me a text back, just said that they're still messing with both of his eyes, so keep him in prayer. And then again, don't ever forget to quit praying for Brother Nicholas and Mrs. Nicholas. Keep them in prayer every day. Mrs. Bell, Mrs. Garcia, Mrs. Mayo, Mrs. Plumstead, and some of the others, and I'm sure I forgot somebody, Brother Yala, others that have been staying home because of this thing. Pray for them as well. All right, we'll start with the Come On Down, Slick. Let's go over here tonight. We got a good crowd in this section. Anyone over here with a blessing? Someone with a blessing. Mrs. Howard has a blessing. You said you're glad school starts soon? You can bring it on up, Stephen. I'm still trying to recover from that. You're not going to hear that from any of the students. That was from one of the teachers, so. Anyone else in that section? Glad school starts soon. Anyone else? Anyone else? No one else over there being blessed this week? God's not real? I'm just messing with you. All right, someone in this section here? Anyone with a blessing? Anyone with a blessing? Going once? Going twice? There's Brother Prado. Brother Prado, thank you. Good. Miss Hannah, did you have your hand up? I thought Hannah had her hand up. Maybe I just mistook it. I don't know. Hi, Erica. Good to see you.
I got a blessing. I just found this fan that I forgot about. It was a little electrical fan. So. Hallelujah.
I was standing up here thinking, am I just hot and fat and sweating, or are you guys sweating? And I thought, none of you, all of you look real cool out there. And then I saw, and I thought, Mrs. Taylor's, so maybe it's not just me, because I was thinking, man, I can't even just run from the out here up to the platform, and I'm out of breath and sweating. So anyone in this section? It's called getting old. Anyone here? Mrs. Cools? Brother Taylor would differ with you on that one, but I understand. It's one of those things. It's like any other flu or sickness. When you get it, you're feeling pretty bad. You understand how bad it can be, but most of us don't have it. I talked to another pastor in town. His mom and dad had both had it, and they were older than him. And he's had some folks that got really sick. He's had those that was just like some of our folks had it, got rid of it, and went right on, didn't have a problem. So it just depends on who you are and how, I guess, what part you get or what type you get. Anyone else in this section? Christina, good to see your hand. It's such a blessing with Chris. She's always so sparkly and just got stuff to say all the time. She was doing like this. I mean, yeah, we were supposed to pay for this one, and then the lady came over with that little thing, which I don't know how to use, so I was just going to use my credit card regularly. So I gave her my credit card, and she didn't use mine and use hers, so we still owe her a lunch. And so we were supposed to catch up today, break even, but we didn't break even yet. So thank you for lunch, Christina. Anyone over here? Brother Roy has one. Kurt, can you check the air conditioner, make sure they're all on? I think they're all on 70, but just check them. May just be taking it a minute to get down there. Brother Castile? Amen. Yeah, Christina says she likes hanging out with Mrs. Block because she's learning from Mrs. Block how to be mean to her husband. So, isn't that what you said, or Henri or something? Okay. Maybe I just imagine the mean part. I'm not for sure. All right. Miss Peugeot has her hand up in the back. Years. That's a long time. That's good when you stay someplace for a long time. Anyone else in that section? Don't want to miss anyone? All right. Anyone that we missed? Anyone that's thought of one since then? Little lady right down front. I'm thankful for anyone that raised their hand and gives me another chance to get a drink of Dr. Pepper. All right. Going camping. Are you guys going camping? Or are you going, what do you call it when you go... Glamping, yeah. Brother Joe says his wife likes to go glamping, so that's glamour camping. So I never have been glamping, and nowadays Mrs. Block and I do not want to go camping. It is too hard to get. If we get down the ground, we won't get back up. You'll have to come get us from the campsite. All right, Brother Perry in the back has one. And then Brother Carl right in here in the middle. All right, anyone else? Don't want to miss anyone? Anyone else? All right, thank you, sir. Appreciate that. I mentioned last week, and I don't know if I mentioned this morning or not, we do still have some candy. Some folks got some candy this morning after church. If you'd like any of those candy bars, they're much more reasonable. I mean, again, all what we will just charge you what we get for them or what we're supposed to try to get out of them. They normally would be $2 a bar, and right now we for a box of 30, we already got the credit for the church, so we don't owe them anything because of the coronavirus. We couldn't sell. We got a bunch for senior trip and then for the missions conference, but we still have some left. And he had told us if folks wanted to sell it, you then make some money. And I had a young person that said, so if I sell it, what do I get to do with the money? I said, whatever you want to do with the money, you know, buy something for you. I mean, but if you sell the candy, we just need $25 out of the $60 that you sell it for. Or if you just want to buy you some good candy that makes it about 80 cents or 85 cents a bar, and that's pretty reasonable for a $2 candy bar. You're not going to get a candy bar that like that, especially of that brand. I mean, that's it's again, World's Finest is a good brand, good candy. We've got the mint meltaways. We got the, which I don't like. I don't like anything with mint, but I do like the caramels. They've got caramel swirls. Those are good. The chocolate covered almonds are good. The almond bars are good. They've got crunch bars. They got wafer bars. They've got just plain milk chocolate. I didn't know anyone even still liked plain milk chocolate. And then Miss Sells got plain milk. I said, what do you want? I said, anything you want. She asked for plain milk chocolate. And I thought, why would you get plain milk chocolate when you can get all these other things? And I said, you sure don't want a crunch or an almond? And it's like, no, plain milk chocolate. So I guess someone, unless she's going to take it home and make s'mores. That's about the only thing I could think of. The plain milk chocolate would be good for some s'mores after church. But we do have that in the office. And again, if you'd like to get some, just let me know. We'd be glad to get it to you. Again, don't forget to pray for the folks that are shut in. And again, when it's talking about blessings, Brother Bajot won't say anything, so I will. I don't remember what day it was. One day last week, he called me up and he said, you got to come see this. And he pulled up in it and he had this great big, the only thing really called would be like a monster truck four-wheeler because it had these great big tires on it. I mean, and today, Levi really rubbed it in. Kurt came over to do something at my place on his four-wheeler, and I pulled my four-wheeler up with something on the back. And Levi said, what is that? He was pointing to my four-wheeler. And I said, that's my four-wheeler. He said, my dad's is bigger. And I said, I didn't know he was in a contest. But he had to rub it in. And I said, yes, your dad's is bigger. So it's one of those things, my dad's bigger than your dad. But in this case, his dad's four-wheeler was bigger than my four-wheeler. But Brother Joe got that given to him this week. Family member bought that for him. And again, that was a bit, I told him it's about time. He does a lot of stuff for other people. It's about time that he got some of it back. But again, you have to get him to show you the pictures of his monster truck four-wheeler. I mean, he can pull down large trees, drag small children, about anything you can think of that it comes in handy for. So.
All right, we can stay seated on this one, page 281, Jesus Saves. We have heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land, climb the steeps and cross the waves. Onward 'tis our Lord's command, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Verse 2, wafted on the rolling tide, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Tell to sinners far and wide, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing ye islands of the sea, echo back ye ocean caves. Earth shall keep her jubilee, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Give the winds a mighty voice, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let the nations now rejoice, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout salvation full and free, highest hills and deepest caves. This our song of victory, Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
Well, the fellas, who's coming to pray? Brother Perry is. All right, come on down. Again, most of you know this. Wednesday nights are mission, our offering for the special events coming up. Brother Quarrel scheduled. Anyone been in the office? I know it's in September. Anyone know the date off the top of your head? Mary, Charlie, anyone remember? About the torch, so the end of the month. So do pray for that. That's coming up sometime soon. Be a blessing to have Brother Quarrel here, but he'll be coming and speaking. I think it's a Sunday through a Wednesday, if I remember right. So he'll be here at the end of September. So that's what Wednesday night's offerings go for. But Sunday morning, Sunday night just goes to pay the bills and take care of things and keep us honest.
That's right. Father, we love you and thank you for your blessings and for your salvation. We ask you to bless the service tonight. Bless this offering. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
right, let's stand for this one. Love Lifted Me. Now, as a teenager or even a kid, on this song, they always said that when it says love lifted, we'd have to kind of stand on our tippy toes. So just a little exercise this evening. So if you have it in you, there you go. Love lifted me. All right, there you go. Okay, so we're ready. Here we go. Here you go. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, singing to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Here we go. Love lifted me. There you go. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. All right, good, good exercise here.
Some of you, that's the most exercise you had this week, so you can just cut out the gym for the whole week because you just had all that exercise right there. Second verse.
Here we go. Hope nobody's out of breath. Here we go. Ready? Second verse. All my heart to him I give, ever to him I'll cling. In his blessed presence live, ever his praises sing. Love so mighty and so true, merits the soul best song. Faithful, loving service to him belongs. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Third verse, watch me now, here we go. Souls in danger looked above, Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by his love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea, billows his will obey. He your savior wants to be saved today. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me. Love lifted me, when nothing else could help, love lifted me. There you go, good job.
You can be seated.
I'll need a little extra exercise, right? Sorry, Jenny, I like the plain chocolate, too. I'm a purist. I like my plain coffee, too. I don't want that almond stuff in there. This is a song I wrote several years ago, and Miss Sanders and I sang it when I first wrote it. It's hard to get together to practice these days with this corona stuff going on, so I'll do it as a solo. It's Jesus Paid It on the Cross. Since Adam in the garden, sin and brought us down, we have gone much farther, bringing shame upon our crown. But we have a Savior who will make us clean. If we only ask him, our souls he will redeem. Though we're all vile sinners, we won't have to pay the cost. Jesus, blessed Jesus, paid it on the cross. Just knows that we are weak, for we are only dust. Savior has all power, he's merciful and just.
Now when we fall in sin, he will raise us up again. He knows our flesh is weak. We must rely on him. Though we're all vile sinners, we won't have to pay the cost. Jesus, blessed Jesus, paid it on the cross. Yes, our second Adam came and lived sin free. Then he died our souls to save on Mount Calvary. So just trust the Savior, he'll forgive your sin. You'll have a home in heaven where you will live with him. Though we're all vile sinners, we won't have to pay the cost. Jesus, blessed Jesus, paid it on the cross. Jesus, blessed Jesus, paid it on the cross.
Thank you, Brother Wallace. Grab your Bibles, go to Luke chapter 15. We'll read a well-known story just to take a verse or two out of it this evening. We're not going to really speak about the prodigal son in any great detail, but he will be one of the characters that we'll be looking at tonight. Luke chapter 15, we'll start reading, let's start in verse 11. A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that followeth to me, and he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey to a far country, notice the next phrase, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Skip on over to verse 17. When he had came to himself, he said, how many servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. That was him trying to get right with dad. And then here's the part we want to see. Verse 19, I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Now, if you notice his phrase, the phrase at the beginning of the story was, give me. The phrase there in verse 19 was, make me. And we want to look at that a little bit this evening. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, bless now the time we have together as we look at character and our need to be accountable. I pray, Lord, that you'd say, help me to say what I should say and not what I shouldn't. Have your will and way in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been talking about character. We've talked about character in an employee, character in a father and a mother, character and your job. Still got several more character lessons, but this one's called Character and Our Need to Be Accountable. Now, when I say our need to be accountable, no matter how old you get in life, you probably will still answer to somebody. That's something you might as well just get in your head. There is hardly ever a time that we or an age that we get that we don't find ourselves accountable to someone. Unless you're completely retired and you're not married and you have no bills and you have no responsibilities, then you might not have anyone that you actually have to be accountable. But most of us have. We're either accountable to the bank, our parents, the school, our church, our boss, our husband, our wife, our parents. Most of us are accountable to somebody, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. The truth is, being accountable is probably a very good thing because it helps us to, I guess you say, protect us. And I've often said this to people. I've said one time I was addressing something recently, and I said I did that, and I said the reason I did that was to protect me from me. You say, Brother Block, what do you mean you had to protect you from you? Because I know me and my flesh. And so there are things that I do. I appreciate what Brother Cordell told us years ago. I don't know if he said it from here at the pulpit. I think he did. But he said that when he travels without his wife, which, by the way, is 95 or more percent of the time, when he travels without his wife, he does not even turn the television on in his room. He doesn't. He doesn't turn the TV on in his room. And he says he does that because he doesn't want to possibly see something on TV that he shouldn't see. So he doesn't even turn the TV. Now, that's usually the first thing most folks turn on as soon as they get home. It's turn on TV, change clothes, and flop down in front of the TV. Except he said he just doesn't turn on the TV. Say, what in the world does he do? Well, I know he does a lot of reading. By the way, some of you, you'd be surprised if you read. It would just open up a whole new world for some of you. Because Brother Nichols, when he used to teach the preacher boys, I'm sure he told it to Brother Castillo when he was a preacher boy, but he used to always say, readers Her leaders are readers. That was one of the things he often said. And again, it's very important for you to read. It helps you with your vocabulary. It helps you see other situations. It helps you gain some knowledge, again, that you wouldn't have gained when you read from other people. But again, when we're talking about Brother Coral, what he was saying was, you know what? I want to be accountable to my wife. I don't want to see something that I shouldn't see. So because I care about her, and it was his way of protecting himself from himself. So tonight, when we talk about character and our need to be accountable, I'm going to give you just several verses about counsel, because counsel typically means we go to somebody to ask them something, which means I don't have all the answers. So I'm going to give you several verses about counseling. I could have gave you dozens. I'm just going to use some of them in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 30 says, "They would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof." By the way, he was talking about someone who was foolish, and what had happened was they didn't listen to his counsel, and they weren't moved or changed by his reproof. Proverbs 11:14 says, "Where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors there is safety." And again, a verse we often use. And again, wise is the person, young or old, that has a good board of counselors, someone that you go to get another opinion. Now, all of us are opinionated. The problem is, and by the way, some of us are even right most of the time. But if you just listen to that conversation I just said, most of the time, what does that also mean? We are wrong some of the time. Now, if I'm right 95% of the time, that means I'm wrong 5% of the time. Wouldn't it be nice if I wasn't even wrong that 5% of the time? Then I'm right all the time. And if there's something that I'm not sure of or something that I don't know the answer to, it'd be good for me to talk to somebody that does know the answer and get the answer from them. And so we do that sometimes when we're doing Bible quizzes. We'll have some of our bus kids sitting there and our church kids know the answer. Sometimes a church kid will lean over and tell the bus kid the answer. Now, if the bus kid didn't hear it clearly, he or she will pipe up something and it wasn't the right answer because they didn't hear what the church kid said. Well, the church kid was just wrong, and sometimes that happened too. But usually the church kid knew the answer, and he had told the bus kid, and the bus kid yelled it out, and he was right or she was right. They came and got a piece of candy. Now, understand, they didn't know the answer, but they listened to someone who did know the answer, and therefore they received their reward. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 22 says, "Without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors they are established." Proverbs 19:20, "Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end." Proverbs 19:21, "There are many devices in a man's heart, nevertheless the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand." Proverbs 20, verse 5, "Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but the man of understanding will draw it out." I said this about Brother Barnes many times through the years. He was one that if I sat and talked with him for a while, I could get him to open up and talk about stuff. But he wasn't one that necessarily, now, some people like me just jabber all the time, okay? And you might be one of those that jabbers all the time, which means we tell you whatever. I mean, you don't have to poke us to get us to talk. But there are people that you have to actually listen, or you have to actually ask them, or you might just have to spend some time with them to get the wisdom that they have, because they don't just throw it out there. I mean, you have to work at it. And Brother Barnes was like that. So there would be times that I had to build a relationship with him. And then after I built a relationship with him, then he talked to me about things, and I learned a lot of stuff from him. But again, counsel in the heart of man is like deep water. Sometimes, I mean, it takes a little bit to get it out. Proverbs 20:18, "Every purpose is established by counsel. With good advice, make war." And then Proverbs 24:6 says, "For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in the multitude of counselors there is safety." So again, what he says is, you know what? You need to have enough sense to go talk to somebody and hear what they have to say. Any person, young or old, that thinks they know everything is an idiot and a liar. You don't, because the truth is, and you say, well, what do you mean I'm lying? You're lying to yourself if you think you know everything, because you don't. I often say this to, and Sean's one that always likes to ask questions, and many times Sean's asked me a question, and I've said to Sean, "I don't know." I say, "Brother Walker, why'd you say that?" "Because I didn't know." Now, I told Sean, I said, "Sean, he said, well, Brother Block, I thought you knew everything." I said, "No, I don't. You know, there are so many fields that I know nothing about." Like with Brother Taylor. I've told you before, Brother Taylor came to school one time and did his lung thing. You know what I heard from Brother Taylor? Wah, 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 wah. Wah, 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 wah. Say, Brother Block, did you understand any of it? Nope. I understood we had two lungs and we have a diaphragm. And the rest of it, I had no idea what he said. Now, Brother Taylor knew exactly what he was talking about, but I understood very little of it. Now, some of the kids who were smarter than me, they picked it up, and it's like, oh, and I'm sitting there thinking, nah. I mean, and so you say, Brother Block, have him draw you a picture. He was drawing pictures, and I still wasn't getting some of it. But he, now, again, he knows a lot of stuff about lungs that I don't know. There are men and women here in the church that you specialize in something. You speak a language, or you've went to college, or you've been trained in something, and you know stuff that I have no idea. So, by the way, I wouldn't stand and argue with you about it because I don't know. Now, there are some folks that argue. I mean, they'd argue with a mirror. I mean, they just like to argue. I mean, because they can't keep their mouth shut and never listen for a minute. But again, the reason we get counsel is because we don't know everything, and it's good to be able to pull some wisdom from other people. So it means we're right more often than we would have been if we only relied upon our own knowledge. So again, character and our need to be accountable. Let me give you five or six things, and we'll be done tonight. First off, in our youth, we need to be accountable to someone. Now that's why, now if you know anything about nature, there are some animals or some things out of nature, some young out of nature, as soon as they're born, they're on their own. I mean, they're on their own. I mean, from the day, I mean, the day they have, I mean, the day they pop out, they're on their own. Most things are not like that. If you know anything about some fish, the mama will have the babies and then she'll turn around and take a mouthful. They have to run from mom. I mean, it's bad enough you have to run from the other fish in the water. They have to run from mom because mom's coming. Now, whether it's a cat or a dog or a rabbit or a coyote or a skunk or a human, through this, we're not like that. We have our young, and then we spend now. And I say this to people all the time. Most of the time, we don't figure a young person's ready to get out on their own till they're 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, so on and so forth. But the truth is, there is no animal that I know of that takes that long. But their life also is not near as complicated as ours. They're all just what we would call lower creatures. You and I mean, we have a soul. We're different than animals. And by the way, if you believe the evolutionists, you'd believe you're just a higher form of an animal, and that's not true. But you say, and by the way, in the 18 years that your parents have to train you, and that the school has to train you, and that the church has to train you, and that the Sunday school has to train you, and that the youth department has to train you, and that the pastor has to train you, trust me, there's still a lot you didn't get. If you picked up all of it, there's still a lot that you don't know, because, I mean, you're going to keep learning all through your life. But in your youth, and in our youth, we need to be accountable to somebody. Now, notice verse 12 again. What he said in verse 12 was, give me. Give me. You know, there's probably a reason why we get our inheritance when we get older. Most of us do not give our inheritance to our children when they're 16 or 17. Because if we did, you know what would happen? The same thing that this young man did. He didn't invest it in houses and lands. He didn't invest his money. He wasted his money. Now, there's a reason. The truth is, most of us, as adults, if we look back, we made some foolish decisions in our youth. We made some bad investments or some bad decisions, some bad financial investments or some bad financial decisions in our youth. Now, when we're a little bit older, I mean, we realize that we can argue with the car dealership and we don't have to pay as much. Now, there are folks that I kind of feel sorry for some people. They go to the car dealership and they pay exactly what the guy asked for. I don't know if you realize this. They'll let you talk them down. They expect to be talked down. My son bought something one day and he said, Dad, I did the same thing you did. I got up to leave like two or three times until he chased me down and brought me back in and gave me the deal I wanted. And he said, do you remember that time you did that? I said, yes. I said, I really was leaving that third time too. I said, the first two times I was just joking. The third time I was gone. That's why he had to grab me and almost pull me back in physically because I was tired arguing with him and them lying to me. So I said, I was heading out the door. See, I go into the car dealership knowing how much I can afford to pay. And they almost always tell me, oh, Mr. Block, we got that. And then I get to the finance guy, and the finance guy figures it all up, shows me back, here's my payment. My payment is not what the fellow out there said it was. And I'll say, I'm sorry, the guy out there, well, but he's a salesman. And I said, I realize that, and he does that every day, and you do this every day. And I already told him, I'm good at math. While he was going talking to the boss, I took 72 payments, multiplied by the payment he told me. Unless you didn't charge me interest and gave me another $3,000 off of my car, I knew I wasn't walking out with that payment. But he said I was. So unless you can do that and give me the warranty that he promised me, I'm going someplace else. Now understand, I learned that from my dad. I didn't know that on my own. I would have been paying more money than I should have paid. But the truth is, this young man got his money before he was wise enough to know how to spend his money. When he said, give me, now again, if dad would have gave it to him on his own, it would have been because dad felt like, you know what, he's grown up, he's got it. Your son, go out and make something of yourself. That wasn't how it worked. He left on bad terms. And I always tell young people all the time, and I said this is either last Wednesday night, I believe, about Tatiana. It is a good thing when a kid leaves the right way. And all of you young people should strive to leave your home. And one of these days, by the way, you're supposed to leave your home. If you're 40 years old and you're still living with mama, I mean, you know, unless she really needs you to live with her, you probably should get a place of your own. Now, I don't really care. I mean, with girls, I don't care if they stay forever until they get married. I mean, but again, when I'm talking about this young man, he wasn't 40. He was probably 15 or 16 or 17. He just thought he was a man. He probably went around telling people he was a man. And by the way, usually when someone has to tell you they're a man, it's because they're not, and they're trying to convince you and themselves. But again, in this case, all youth need to be accountable to somebody. Number two, face yourself concerning your need to be accountable. Notice Luke chapter 15, verse 17. And when he came to himself, you know what he finally admitted? I didn't know it all. I wasn't as smart as I thought I was. I actually hadn't arrived. Truth is, not only did I not know the answer, I didn't even understand the question. He came to himself. Now, by the way, when you face yourself concerning your need to be accountable, when you finally realize I need to have some boundaries, you do. Need to have some boundaries. By the way, all of us need to have boundaries. There's no age that we get to that we don't need to have boundaries. If you don't have boundaries in your marriage, you're going to get in trouble. You don't have boundaries when it comes to finances, you're going to get in trouble. You don't have boundaries when it comes to a lot of stuff, you're going to get in trouble. Why do you think we have a speed limit? If you think that we could just do away with the speed limit and people would drive sanely, they drive insanely with the speed limit. Can you imagine what they drive? I tell people all the time, if I wasn't accountable, trust me, the first time that kid on John Jay flips me off, I'm going up on the curb and running over somebody. I am. And if his friend mouths off, I'm going to swing over and hit him too. Then I'm going to get out and make sure that, I mean, if they're both, I mean, breathing, I may back slam on my brakes and back up and run over them again. I said, Brother Walker, would you really do that? You're such a nice guy. Yeah, but that's because I fake a lot. I mean, see, when those kids do that smart aleck stuff or walk across when they're not supposed to walk off and expect you to slam on your brakes and stop for them, I really want to hit them. You say, why don't you? Because there's laws and accountability and insurance. And my wife would say, what did you do to my car? Now, if I told her it was a smart aleck teenager, she'd be, all right, that's fine. I mean, because she's a good woman. She'd be okay with that. If I said it was a John Jay kid, she said, you know what? I'm glad you got him because I wanted to the other day, but he ran and he got away. He ran back into school and he got away from me. But the truth is, we have a need to be accountable. Face yourself concerning your need to be accountable. By the way, if you've left the church, and you shouldn't, you say, well, I mean, why do I really need the church? Well, you know, in the Bible, look in Acts chapter 2. In the Bible, they even had church more often than we have church. Notice Acts chapter 2, verse 46. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their bread with gladness and singleness of heart. Chapter 5 of Acts, verse 42 says, and daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. They met a lot because they needed that. By the way, I can tell you, I say this all the time, the reason you and I need to come on Wednesday night is we've been out in the world for a couple of days. We need some more spiritual food. We need some more encouragement. We need some more spiritual stuff thrown into us because we got three more days to face till the weekend. Again, stay faithful to church. The reason a young person, again, you have to be careful if you've left the church. If you've left home, I tell this to young people all the time, if you leave home too early, Now, it's tough to do right even if you leave at the right time. Your first year out, and that's one of the reasons we encourage young people to go to Bible college for a year, because at least your first year that you're away from mom and dad, you have the tendency to make some dumb mistakes. But if you're at Bible college, they're not mom and dad, so they're not near as strict, and they don't look over your shoulder and make you as near as accountable as parents do, but they still got some accountability, which is good for you. But again, if you've left church, you've left the house, you quit school, you probably are going to have a hard time succeeding. Now, it doesn't mean when you finish high school, that doesn't mean you've arrived, but at least you've finished something. And it means you've finished this and you're ready for the next step. And usually that's college. It's not always college, but usually it's college. And then when you finish college, you're ready for the next step. But that's why they typically have kind of phases in your life that you go through. You don't want to quit. You want to make sure you always are accountable, and that will help you to be successful. By the way, it's important to show up on time. It's important to be trustworthy. It's important to finish what you start. And by the way, if you haven't been held accountable, no one made you finish stuff. No one made you show up on time. No one made you do. Again, I don't know how many times kids have said, I mean, I quit. Do you think there'd be any student in school if parents didn't make them go to school? That wouldn't be very mean. You know why they go to school? Because they don't have a choice. You and I have seen the bumper sticker, I owe, so off to work I go. That's why most of us work. I'm privileged. I get to work here. But most of you work out in the world. And now, that's why some of you say, man, I can't wait till I retire. Now, I can tell you, husbands, when you retire, that means you're going to be working for mama. So you're never going to quit working. You'll just be working full-time for mom when you retire. So, I mean, the wife's going to have a, I mean, she's been making that list for the last 20 years. I mean, it's going to be like this long. I mean, the rapture's going to come before you finish that list. But, and you don't get paid. That's one of those things. You don't get paid an hourly wage. You just get 3 square meals and a place to sleep. I mean, that's what you get. You want to make sure you finish what you start. That comes from training. That's not natural. We by nature are quitters. We by nature, I mean, when we get mad or we get tired or we just stop. We want to stop. Again, find yourself someone to be, I mean, again, face yourself concerning you need to be accountable. Number 3, you need to ask someone to please make me. That's what he said in verse 19. He went back to his dad and he said, please make me. Now, what he realized was, I shouldn't have left. I wasn't ready. Now, he didn't say, make me your son. He didn't figure he was even worthy to be called his son. And he told his dad that. And that was a good thing when he finally could admit that. He went back and said, Dad, I need you to teach me to be a servant. By the way, that's a good lesson for any of us to learn. One of the best lessons you and I can learn is to be a servant. Now, everyone wants to be a boss. But one of the best lessons you can learn in life is to be a servant. To pick up the trash that you find on the floor. To clean something because it needs to be cleaned and you can't. I mean, there are a lot of folks that just walk by. I mean, there are plenty of jobs that need to be done and nobody, they just walk by those jobs, ignore them. I appreciate the fact that we have 50-year-olds and 6-year-olds that'll pick up trash and we have teenagers who walk by. And by the way, far easier for them to bend down than for us old folks to bend down, but the old folks will bend down and pick up trash and pick something up because they don't want the churchyard to look gaudy, don't want it to look dirty. But again, understand, we need someone to make us account. We need to be able to say, please make me a person of character. It might be your parents you say that to. It might be your boss you say that to. It might be your youth director you say that to. If you're struggling with having character in your life, find someone with character and say, please make me learn to do right. The simple reason we don't do right, it's because we don't have the character to do right. Again, in the Christian school, some of the kids, we have a few kids that actually would go by all the rules. We wouldn't even require a teacher. But most students need a teacher. You know why they need a teacher? Because they wouldn't do the stuff they're supposed to. If we just said, all right, guys, all the staff are gone, we're going to take off down and eat we're going to be gone a couple hours. You guys just keep doing your schoolwork. I can tell you for a few minutes, they would all take it fairly seriously. And I can tell you one or two of them would continue to work till we get back. But the rest of them, other than the door guard, because there's going to be a door guard, he or she's going to be looking, watching, waiting for the door to open so they can run back in and say, they're coming. I mean, other than the door guard, the rest of them are going to be playing and talking and fooling around. They are, because they're kids. That's why they need to be accountable. Again, a Christian school, parents, someone. It might be that you say, well, Brother Block, I don't have a dad in my life or I don't have a mom in my life. Then that means you need to attach yourself to a godly man or woman and ask them to teach me, make me, help me learn some character. The fourth thing, when it comes to a character and our need to be accountable, you at least have the character, or you should have the character, to become accountable to someone. It doesn't take any character to walk up to someone and say, I need your help. Now, if you say you need their help, then let them help you. What I mean by that is submit to the power of that person. I mean, by the way, we should submit to the Holy Spirit. I asked the Holy Spirit years ago not to let me go to sleep till I read my Bible. But those nights I went to bed without reading my Bible, and the Holy Spirit would have a conversation with me. I had two choices. Obey the Holy Spirit and get up. Now, I'd ask him to make me accountable. I didn't realize he was going to do that. It's kind of one of those things like, hey, Brother Block, you ever need me, let me know. You're just saying that because it sounds good. You really, if I call you up and say, hey, what are you doing tomorrow night? Hey, honey, aren't we doing something tomorrow night? I mean, yeah, I'll think, hang on, I'll call you back. I mean, the truth is, I didn't realize the Holy Spirit really would. I mean, I didn't know the Holy Spirit that well. So when I said, Holy Spirit, don't let me go to bed without reading my Bible, I'd get in bed, my Bible not read, the Holy Spirit would wake me. He'd say, you didn't read your Bible. And I would talk to the Holy Spirit. Now, he didn't actually have a conversation with me, but I had one with him. And I'd say, you know what, I'll read it tomorrow. He said, but you said you don't not to let you go to sleep tonight until you read it today. I don't know why you're so persistent, but he was. And so I had two choices, get up and read my Bible, which is what I asked him to remind me to do, or tell him to leave me alone. And by the way, if I told him to leave me alone, he did. And then I didn't get any character. But again, if you ask someone to make me, you ask the Holy Spirit to make you. I've asked the Holy Spirit to remind some point. Those times that I, again, The other day, I passed out tracts to like three people, and I walked by someone else. It wasn't someone that I hadn't done business with them, but it was like the Holy Spirit said, "Well, what about them?" I'm thinking, "What about them?" I mean, I gave it to the cashier and the one pack of my groceries. I mean, that's just a stranger I walked by, and the Holy Spirit said, "Yeah, but I mean, you know, they need one too." So I turned back around, walked back, and gave them one. Now, understand, I asked the Holy Spirit to do that. So if I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to help me have character to pass out tracts, then I have to listen to the Holy Spirit. But again, we want to be accountable to the Holy Spirit. Submit to Him. Submit to your parents. Submit to the person that you asked to give you character. Again, we should at least have enough character to make ourselves accountable to someone. It might be that you have someone teach you to work. And you young men ought to do that. You ought to find somebody that will teach you to work, teach you a trade. Teach you how, I mean, by the way, even if you didn't get paid, if you learn how to do something, you'll make money in the future. Or if you don't make money, you'll save money in the future. I was talking to Samuel the other day, and I said, "Sam, all the stuff you're learning from Grandpa and from Dad and so on and so forth, I said, not only will you make money now, but someday when you get married, it's going to save you when you know how to put up sheetrock or you know how," because he was working with Sal, right? Working with Sal. I said, "Sal's a smart guy. Sal, he knows how to," I said, "he knows a whole lot about, I mean, everything. He's not just a painter. Some guys are just painters and that's all they can do. But I mean, Sal can, he can paint, he can do, at that day, you guys was putting up a porch or something? Fixing the deck." I said, and now, again, whether it's a deck or the porch or the fence or the toilet, when you know how to do that stuff, it saves you a lot of money. So I said, even if you don't use that as a job in the future, it'll come in handy in your marriage to know how to do that. But again, be accountable to someone. Learn from them. When Karen and I were dating, I knew me. I didn't know her really well, but I knew me. So I had to make myself accountable to keep myself out of trouble. So we made sure that we did not single date. Now, my youth director told me not to double date with the other couples dating because some of them were dating incorrectly. And he said, "You don't need to sit in the car. You're trying to behave yourself." And they're sitting there holding hands and hugging and kissing. You don't need to see that because it's like you want to do that. So we would take out, like her brother or one of my brothers, we'd take out just some single guys and we'd go bowling or go tennis. We set our own curfew. My parents did not set a curfew. I set my own curfew. We'd be back by 10 o'clock. We made the rule that we would not be in the car alone. We would not be at the house alone. You say, "Why did you do that?" "Because I didn't trust Mrs. Block. That's why." No, I'm just joking. Because I didn't trust me. I was trying to protect me from me. We would get home. My mom would say, I mean, now my mom didn't have a problem with me kissing Mrs. Block. Her stepdad and mom didn't have a problem. She would get home. Sometimes when I just drop her off, I'd stand at the door. I mean, she'd walk inside. Big Bill would say, "Hey, did it kiss you tonight?" And she'd get all red. And that's why he did it, because she'd get all red. And she'd go, "No. What is he? Queer? I mean, you know, didn't he want to?" Now, listen to me. I wanted to, but I didn't need to. Because if I did, it doesn't usually stop with it. It's kind of like that Lay's potato chip. It's hard to just stop with just one. So the truth is, I tried to be accountable. We laid out some rules. And I'm so thankful, and I say this to people all the time, I'd have got in trouble if it hadn't been for Miss Block saying, "Don't you remember the promise we made to God?" I wanted to say, "Could you just not be spiritual for a minute with me?" But she was more spiritual. And again, that's the reason we could go to the marriage altar virgins, because Mrs. Block had enough sense to remind me of the rule that we both had agreed to. But again, you need to, again, you should have at least enough character to make yourself accountable to someone. Number five, once you've learned to be accountable, stay with it until your leader says you're properly trained. Did you notice that there was an Elijah and an Elisha? Did you notice that there was a Paul and a Timothy? Did you notice that there was a Barnabas and a John Mark? Now, Timothy was a good man. But one of the reasons Timothy was able to accomplish all he accomplished later on was because he spent some time with a fellow by the name of Paul. John Mark would have probably wiped out if it hadn't been for his relative Barnabas that saw something in him. And even when Paul said, now, by the way, probably Paul's discipline of John Mark helped John Mark to become the John Mark he was. Sometimes you need a kick in the britches to get you back on the right path. But the truth is, those men in Acts chapter 12 and in 1 Timothy chapter 1, and by the way, if you read 1 Timothy, look over there real quick, 1 Timothy chapter 1, notice what Paul says about Timothy. "Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith." Now, he apparently didn't have any kids of his own, but you know what he called Timothy? "My son in the faith." That's a good thing to be called, "my son in the faith." "Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord, as I besought thee to abide still in Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine." Now, he left them in Ephesus Say, what did he do? Because Timothy had reached a point that now Timothy could do have his own ministry. For a while, he followed Paul around. But there was a time that he had grown enough that Paul said, Tim, you're on your own, buddy. You got this now. He still knew that he could run. He could still go back to Paul and get some counsel and get some help. I remember as a young youth director, I called Brother Ross a few times and asked Brother Ross some questions because he'd been a youth director longer. And I got some wisdom and some counsel from him that, again, I don't know if I would have made it. Don't know if I'd still be here today if I hadn't went to someone older and wiser than me and got some counsel. But again, once you've learned to be accountable, stay with it until your leaders say that you're properly trained. That's why they give diplomas. What they're saying is you have finished your course. You're done. You're ready to go on to the next step. And whether if you're having someone that you're accountable to, wait till they tell you, you know what? I don't think you really need me much anymore. I mean, I appreciate the visits. I'm glad you can come around and see me from time to time because I really enjoy the visits. But I think you're ready, buddy. And the last thing, and I'll be done, accept the fact that we are all going to be accountable to someone probably forever. Our parents, our husband, our wife, our pastor, our boss, the Lord. Again, we have the need to be accountable. If we're not accountable, if we don't have someone that we have to answer to, if we all acted like the world wants us to act, we would act like animals. We'd be undisciplined. We'd be untrained. That's one of the reasons I hope they put kids back in school. I can tell you, kids staying at home are not getting all the stuff they need to get. There are a few parents that really are teaching their kids, and a lot of other kids are teaching themselves, and they're not learning anything good. Oh, they're learning how to beat it. I mean, something on Nintendo or something on the Game Boy or something. They've watched series of TV station channels, but I mean, they're really not getting an education. One of these days, they're not going to be ready for life. But again, we have a need to be accountable. So have some character. You say, Brother Block, I'm struggling some area. Then get some man or woman that's godly, that's either, not, by the way, usually they're older than you, but they might not be older than you, they're more seasoned than you. They've been in church or got more, and make yourself accountable to them. Check, have them check on you. You ask them before you do stuff. Just like my dad. Again, I don't know how many times I called my mom and my dad after we got married. My mom and dad didn't mind that. They like it. I mean, again, if you've ever had someone call you, now, let me ask this. Again, how many of you have had either your kids or someone else call you and ask you something about whether it's cooking or something else? Someone call you. Most every parent had that, and most anyone else. You know why? Because those folks had enough sense to realize you know how to do it and I don't. Or I don't remember. There's things that I didn't know a long time ago and I don't remember. For instance, I couldn't remember how long you're supposed to blanch the corn before you freeze it. Now, when my mom was alive, I'd call my mom. When mom was gone, I had to go to Google. Google was my mom that day. So, I mean, I went to Google. When it came to doing, I mean, there's things that I don't, I mean, things that I knew that I've forgotten. Came to, I mean, one time, I don't know how many boiled eggs I boiled, and I kept pulling them all apart. And I said, I remember, it used to be simple. I remember what mom did, but she could pull that shell right off, and it was just so simple. And if you've ever pulled a boiled egg, I mean, I don't know how many boiled eggs I've thrown away, because all I ended up with, I mean, was just a few chunks in the yolk. That was all the rest was stuck to the shell. And by the way, you do it right, it comes right off there, because there's a little skin in there, and it just comes right off, and it's like, wow, isn't that pretty? I mean, but again, there's someone that knows that answer. You might not. There are some spiritual questions that you will have, and there'll be folks in the church that can answer those. Brother Nicholas likes to be asked questions. You said, Brother Nicholas don't like to talk. He doesn't mind being asked questions. I'm not going to ask, but there's been many of us that have asked Brother Nicholas a question. We went to Brother Nicholas and said, can I ask you a question? And he's like, and by the way, Brother Nicholas knows a lot. And if he doesn't know it, here's what he'll tell you. And let me look into that, and I'll get back with you. And he'll pray about it. He'll look into it for a day or two, and then he'll come back with an answer. Yep. But again, we need to have the character to at least be accountable. We have the need to be accountable, whether it's to our parents, our pastor, our church, our Bible, our God, our Lord, the Holy Spirit. We have the need to be accountable and have enough character at least to make yourself accountable to somebody. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. Help us that we might have character. Character is the act that we do right by reflex. We don't have to think about it. We do it because we've been doing it so long. It's just become part of us. And I pray, Lord, you'd help all of us to work on having godly character. It is not our natural state. It's not our nature to be godly. It is our nature to be sinful.
Hello, friend. I'm Brother Nichols. I'm the pastor of Liberty Baptist Church here in San Antonio. We're located at 7421 Marbach Road, and I wanted to give you my personal invitation to come and be with us and visit us during any of the services. We have our Sunday school is at 9:45 on Sunday morning. It's followed immediately at 10:50 by the Sunday morning preaching service. Then at 7 o'clock on Sunday night, we have the evening service. And then at 7:30 on Wednesday night, our midweek Bible study. And we invite you to come and be with us for any of these services that you can. We sing the old hymns, the old gospel songs. We major on the teaching and the preaching of the 1611 King James Bible. And we'd love to have you to come and visit with us. But whether you can visit with us or not, the most important thing is to know that you're saved and that your sins are forgiven and that you're going to heaven. So let me, if I might, just share the gospel, a quick, simple presentation of the gospel message. The Bible teaches, first of all, that all of us are sinners. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." All of us, every human being, is a sinner. That's me, that's you, that's every one of us, dear friend. And the Bible teaches that because we're sinners, we owe the penalty of sin. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." That includes physical death, and it also includes what Revelation chapter 20, verses 14 and 15 refer to as the second death, which is the lake of fire. It means that if I have to pay the penalty for my own sin, I'll have to die and spend eternity in this terrible place called the lake of fire, paying on my sin debt. But the good news of the gospel is that though I'm a sinner and owe this sin debt, that sin debt was paid for me and for you, dear friend, by the Lord Jesus Christ when he shed his blood and died on Calvary's cross. In Romans 6:23, the same verse that says, "For the wages of sin is death," goes on and says, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." So eternal life, salvation, heaven, is a gift from God. It's something that God gives to us freely. We cannot earn it. We cannot be good enough to deserve it. We cannot do anything for it. But God gives it to us freely, eternal life, through, the scripture said, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, the reason that God can give us this gift of eternal life through the Lord Jesus is because the Lord Jesus paid our sin debt for us when he died on Calvary's cross. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, I'm a sinner. I owe the wages of sin, which is death. Jesus was not a sinner. Therefore, he did not owe the penalty for sin, death, but he died anyway, and in dying, he paid the debt that he did not owe, but the debt that I owe, that you owe, that all of us as human beings owe because we're sinners. Jesus paid the debt for us. Then 3 days later, he arose from the dead, proving that he has power, the power of life. And he said in John 14:19, "Because I live, ye shall live also." So understanding these things, that you're a sinner, that as a sinner you owe the sin debt, that Jesus paid that debt for you. Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." When I was 18 years old, I called upon the name of the Lord. I came as a sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ in prayer, calling upon his name, and asked him to be my Savior and to give me his gift of eternal life. And dear friend, when I asked, he, in response to my asking, did just as he promised he would do. He saved me and gave me eternal life. If you've never called upon the Lord Jesus and asked him for this free gift of salvation, I encourage you right now to bow your head and open your heart's door and let Jesus come in and ask him to be your Savior and to give you salvation and eternal life. He promised that he would, that he'd save those who call upon his name. And if you've never called, I hope that you will right now. Trust him as your Savior. Again, Liberty Baptist Church is located at 7421 Marbach Road, and we hope that you can come and visit with us. I hope to see you in church soon.